បាទសូមស្វាគមន៍លោកអ្នកនាងមកកាន់កម្មវិធី Idea Talk នៃសារព័ត៌មាន The Cambodia Daily បាទនៅក្នុងរាត្រីនេះវាគ្មិនរបស់យើងគឺលោក Michael Alfaro លោកគឺជាអ្នកកាសែតអាមេរិកាំងលោកនឹងចូលរួមពិភាក្សាទៅលើប្រធានបទស្តីអំពីតើតើអំណាចរបស់ប្រទេសកម្ពុជាបានមកពីណាប្រសិនបើលោកអ្នកនាងមានសំណួរឬយោបល់សូមសរសេរនៅក្នុងប្រអប់ Comment ខាងក្រោមនៃកម្មវិធីផ្សាយរបស់យើងតាមអាសយដ្ឋាន www.facebook.com/withoutfearofeverkh បាទសូមជម្រាបថាកិច្ចសម្ភាសនៅក្នុងរាត្រីនេះយើងនឹងសម្ភាសជាភាសាអង់គ្លេសជាមួយលោក Michael Alfaro បាទសូមជម្រាបសួរ Hello Mr. Michael Alfaro
Yes how are you? I'm doing wellhere in the United States.
Wow, you go to Cambodia for a couple of days, but you can speak Khmer very well. Sounds so clear.
Thank you.
Do you miss Cambodia?
Of course I miss Cambodia. Since I've been back home in the United States, Cambodia is actually in my heart. I think about them every second, every minute. I hear their messages. I read their messages every single day. They continue to inspire me with their choice of choose peace, not war. So yes, I miss Cambodia dearly.
What do you miss Cambodia the most? Which part? Which part of Cambodia?
I miss being with the people and being with the people on the border, all the way to the capital, just seeing their resolve and pursuit of peace. Just seeing honest people, honest farmers, honest workers, honest craftsmen on all they do is they live their daily lives and they try to earn an honest living while, you know, you have an aggressor from Thailand who's locking them out of their homeland, who's locking them out of their the roads where they can access food, medicine, and their jobs. And it's absolutely depressing to see everything that's unfolding and to see Thailand continue to violate the ceasefire that President Trump brokered.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, you know, before we going to the very deep into our conversation, our discussion tonight in Cambodia and the morning in America, I would like to, you know, briefly a little bit about your trip to Cambodia. You have arrived in Cambodia on August 13, correct? After flying out from the United States and return to the United States by August 19, because you leave Cambodia in August 18 and arrive there in August 19.
Well, I have to check my cell phone to be exact, but about 5 days, that's about correct.
Yeah, yeah. So during that short visit, your Facebook Live report from Cambodia and Thailand border conflict zone reached a global audience, you know, since returning to America. You have continued to challenge Thailand and defending Cambodia online. So what drives you to take such a bold and sustained stance for now?
Well, I wanted to travel to Cambodia to see what is happening on the border, because everything that I was hearing in the United States, it just didn't add up. It didn't make sense to me why this crisis is happening and where's the motivation coming from. So I decided to take it on myself. I contacted several news organizations, from Newsmax to One American News to Gary Franchi's Next News Network, who's now, you know, covering the story daily. And I asked everyone, would they please come with me? They all have White House press credentials. They all have White House correspondents on their teams. And we need to get the message exactly what is happening here, because there could be a breach of President Trump's ceasefire and the war is immediate. And by the time we land, there will be significant casualties. But if we get there in time, maybe we can prevent a war. So the reason why I took this trip, even though all of the news sources refused to send in their cameramen and their journalists from the White House correspondent teams, is because simply I knew in my heart, if I go to the border and if I record live exactly what is happening and give my opinion on the border, it can prevent a war. And so I paid my own flight. I received credentials from the Minister of Information from Cambodia. I relayed to Steve Chung, the president's family, that I was going as, you know, a journalist. Mm-hmm. And I went and I reported, and I think my mission was successful. We reached 9 million views in 1 hour, 100 million views worldwide to date, and still climbing and counting. I have gained 495,000 followers on Facebook organically in just 5 days. I mean, this is about 100,000 followers organically every day. And many pundits and many critics told me, you know, nothing is going to come out of Cambodia. You'll be lucky if you get any retweets or any following at all. There's nothing here to gain from going to Cambodia. But I think myself, putting myself on the line, my reputation, my family safety, my safety, it just shows the world that they're wrong. That there are millions of people, 17 million Cambodians worldwide, that is calling on the world, the free world exactly, for peace and to choose not to engage in war.
Yeah, Michael, you know, traveling to Cambodia in the middle of the tension border conflict is a high risk, as you know that. The decision was made is really difficult. So what compelled you to go there at that particular moment? And to be clear, was your mission entirely independent, or you were invited or supported by anyone in Cambodia? So you said earlier that you just go there with your own money, right?
But, correct. So yeah, whenever I move a delegation, whether it's for media, whether if it's for humanitarian or NGO work, you always want to seek proper authorizations from the country. So I sought out with my motive. I contacted Cambodia and through a journalist, Soysa Peep, and I've asked permission, and I said I will not get on a plane unless I have a written letter from the Minister of Information that gives me authorization to interview the Deputy Prime Minister, Prime Minister, and see and tour the border crisis. When we submitted the letter for approval at that time, One American News was committed to send in their White House correspondent team, and I was going to be acting as the leader slash producer and help facilitating the news and not be on the camera. But everyone canceled the trip because they got a safety brief that a war was likely to break and there'll be casualties, and maybe for our safety we shouldn't go. But I gave my word to Cambodia that I would go and seek for myself. And to be honest with you, I'm biased towards Thailand. I have a long business relationships with Thailand. I have worked in 2018 with the Thai rescue team. We rescued children from a collapsed dam in Laos. Our work was covered and published on the UK Daily Mail, the UK Metro, the Associated Press. Our work was covered even at the US Embassy, gave praises for my work. And the team I worked with was Thailand, China, and Thailand NGOs, and even Chinese NGOs. And we were able to, you know, put all of our politics aside and focus on humanity. So, and just the history of Thailand, taking in refugees from the secret war, helping out even with refugees during the Pol Pot War and the killing fields. I came in here more sympathetic towards the Thailand side. However, seeing the footage, it doesn't deny the facts. The two schools that was bombed by artillery rounds, hearing and seeing that the white phosphorus rounds was deployed, and the Thai government said they didn't do it. And then later, a few days later, they say, yes, they did in fact deploy that. Well, that's a crime against humanity, seeing that they bombed a temple that was built in 800 AD that was protected under the UN, seeing the MK bombs and the call for F-16 fighter jets. And so I had to go to Cambodia myself to seek truth. And I have to, with my own integrity, I have to report on the facts. And the facts are, Cambodia is not the aggressor, Thailand is. And there are disturbing facts that are coming from Thailand's side that I absolutely disagree with. These are decisions made on my own fact-finding and my own investigation. This has nothing to do with Cambodia's telling me that they're innocent, and here's why. Mm-hmm. Everything that I pushed out is on my own dime, my own expense today. I've lost over $10,000 on this mission, but God has blessed me as a businessman, and I'm very financially secure. So I took it on myself because I thought, if this is a moment in my life where
nobody pay you at all,
we could save a war. Go ahead.
So nobody pay you at all?
Nobody paid me a dime.
Nobody. Okay. So I have a question.
If Cambodia were to pay me $1, I would have to register under the Foreign Registration Act. I would have to disclose that publicly and file a report with the Department of Justice, the U.S. Department of FinCEN, which is our financial law enforcement, the Lobbying Disclosure Act from the House and U.S. Senate, and even the White House. And so, but I did not receive any payment from Cambodia's government. Yeah. I am not responding on behalf of Cambodia's government. I'm responding on the behalf of the American people, my own personal interests. And I am responding as a concerned United States citizen, and I'm acting in the capacity of a freelance journalist.
Mm. Michael, how do you know Soyce Sepiap? Why you contact Soyce Sepiap? Why you able to contact him?
Well, Soyce Sepiap put out, you know, some news about renaming President, renaming Highway 4 to, you know, Donald Trump Highway. Reached over 2 million views on social media. Prior to that engagement, I saw his social media post about defending their side of the argument that they are not in fact the aggressors, which got my attention. But I was watching closely. So I reached out to Soyce Sepiap. I learned that he was also part of the delegation of the 1991 Paris Peace Accords that helped establish what is in fact the country lines that defines what is the property and the rights of Thailand and what is the rights of Cambodia. So with all of his insights, I said, you know, maybe we can do something. Maybe we can help him bring this out to the mainstream or bring this news story to the United States. And so I engaged Soyce Sepiap, and I said, if you can give me a letter, written letter with approval from the Ministry of Information, then I will deploy a team, or if I will go myself, and I will see it myself by firsthand, everything that you're saying, in fact, if it's true.
Yeah. So, Michael, some critic question about your credibilities pointing to your roles as a White House correspondent and suggesting that it is a misrepresent. So how do you respond to these criticisms, and what would you say to those who doubt to your legitimacy?
Well, thank you so much for bringing up this question. Thailand lied and said that I was a White House correspondent. I never once said I was a White House correspondent. I never once in my application to Cambodia that I said I was a White House correspondent. I never said on any post, on any interview, on any article that I was a White House correspondent. Okay. In the application from the Ministry of Information, we have a White House correspondent credential journalist who is going to be with me on the team, he was the one that was supposed to be interviewing the deputy prime minister, or minister, and even minister of information, minister of, you know, of tourism. He was the one that was supposed to be covering the news story and be on the camera and the spotlight. And so what happened was, because everything happened so rapidly, I bought my ticket to Cambodia 6 hours before I got on a plane. And just imagine trying to tell your wife that you're going to report news on a war zone, and I'll be back in a few days. That conversation wasn't easy. So by the time I arrived at Cambodia, the government, because of the time frame, just wasn't caught up to speed. And somehow, I think, because I stepped in and I reported it, and I made it very clear, I'm acting as a journalist. I know I came here with White House credentials, with the team from One American News. However, I'm acting as a lone journalist, and we're going to get this interview completed, and we're going to solicit it to the AP, and I have some contacts who are interested in the story as soon as we cover it. So we went to go ahead and cover the news, and what happened was the deputy prime minister, someone who was managing his social media account, stated that Michael Alfaro, White House correspondent, interviews deputy prime minister. And by that time it was out there, it was already too late. I wasn't even aware of the post because I was on immediately after the interview. I was on a 6-hour convoy with a military detail to the border for my protection to cover the live stream. So by the time I got done with, you know, the live stream with the border, it reached out millions of views. People are, you know, I was branded as a White House correspondent, and I reshared it on my post, but I told them that you can go on Facebook and you can correct it. All you have to do is just remove the title and just say journalist. It's already too late. It's already out there. And what Thailand is doing is they're using that the loss in translation of information. They're using it to discredit what I had to report and what I saw from my eyes. And that's their only defense that they have, is a typo. But the question is everything that I've reported on, everything that I have said today is from eyewitness firsthand accounts. Everything that I've said and I've reported has been truthful. And the only defense that Thailand has is to find ways to discredit the reporting and to delay, and to hide from the truth. Because there's a saying we say here in America, he who hides nothing. Go ahead.
Michael, I see your Facebook posts a lot. I have been researching to your Facebook. I know that you never post that you are White House correspondent on your Facebook whatsoever. And also, I research a lot, go deep down on your photo. Your family have so much like a photo with President Donald Trump and his family. So tell me exactly, what is your role with the family of President Donald Trump?
Thank you. So my role has always been consistent for the past decade. I'm a consultant to President Trump's family in the various capacities. I'm considered on the what we call the unofficial side. Okay, so the official side is when you're a White House or federal government employee. The unofficial side is when you're on the campaign side, when you're trying to influence the American people to vote for, you know, the president of the United States, the family, or you're working in the capacity of the their business, or you're working in the capacity of, you know, of the election side. So my relationship in with President Trump has always been consistent with everything that you have read from the Wall Street Journal to other various outlets, and even my lobbying disclosure reports. I've always been a consultant to the President Trump and his campaign. I've always been actively working with you know, Mark Beckman, Melania Trump's exclusive senior advisor. It's the same position, similar as Elon Musk, working on the outside, not necessarily being on the inside of the federal government side. There are teams that are that we have in U.S. government. It's the unofficial and the official side, and I'm on the unofficial side. And so every day I was on the ground, I've been communicating with the president's family every single day. And I've been letting them know every step along my journey. They are concerned for my safety, and they know of everything. I've even communicated with Steve Chung. I text him personally from my cell phone, my viral video that reached over 9 million people, and I briefed him through text, and he received it. And so that's my capacity. I know it's difficult.
So you report to them all the time, right? So even in you were in Cambodia. Did you still talk with the Trump families and also like Melania's lawyer regarding your trip to Cambodia?
Yes, every single day. And every still day. Because we work every single day together. So I work in a capacity with Hunter Nation. I'm an advisor to Hunter Nation, and that's Don Jr.'s nonprofit and his 501c4. And I work as a consultant for them and as advisor to the president's son. And that's my full-time client. And I also have a full-time client with Melania's exclusive advisor, Mark Beckman. So I've been working with him through the years.
Michael, tell me, when you meet the Deputy Prime Minister Sun Chun-tol and the Tourism Minister Huat Hak and Information Minister Ned Petras and other, you know, as well as other Cambodians people. So during you meet with those senior official in Cambodia, did you able to let the communication happen between the Cambodian official and the president's family?
No, that would be lobbying. That would be under the Foreign Registration Act, where if they were to ask, can I talk on the phone with the president or the president's family or an elected leader or a sitting, elected office by their direction, their motive, that would be a violation of the Foreign Registration Act. Mm-hmm. And I did not do that. Everything that I have done on my own capacity. I have communicated through American channels, through American interests, through American-led operation. So I did interview the elected leaders from Cambodia, and I did relay the message through media sources, through channels, to let the people in America know at large. But I've not acted in any which way as a foreign agent to Cambodia. And I want to make it clear, to be a foreign agent, it can be either voluntarily or it can be by paid. So if a foreign principal from Cambodia or a foreign leader or minister tells me, can you talk to the U.S. government? Can you talk to, Congressman so-and-so? Can you talk to the president and relay this? And if I take it from their direction, then I'm violating U.S. law. So the entire time I've been down there, I gained nothing. I just reported what I know, what I see, and because I communicate, because I have a business relationship with the family and various capacities, they see everything that I do. They see all my work. They read all my posts. They laugh. We just laughed when we saw the fake news that Thailand pushed out that I'm not connected, or, we laughed about the one post that said Thailand said President Trump called me, or the U.S. embassy called me, told me come home. We laughed about that. I mean, I'm very secure with my relationship with the family, and I'm very secure with my position. Yeah. And so I can care less what Thailand thinks or what they're alleging false narratives about me. Because look, they're doing this about me, American citizen, that has nothing to gain, no business. Like really, I have more gain business or more lose business opportunities with Thailand than Cambodia. If they're lying this about me, what are they saying about Cambodia? That's a lie. You know, and sometimes in the Trump world, we allow lies to happen, and we allow lies to blow up, because when they get so large and you give them the truth, then they lose credibility. And so when Thailand was saying that was a White House correspondent, immediately when they said that I was paid lobbyists from Cambodia, I just sat back and said, wonderful. You know why? Because it's not true. And the truth is, I was never receiving a payment. The truth was, I was never acting as a foreign lobbyist. And if anything, this should show the world how much Thailand is a blatant liar, and they can't be trusted.
Michael, you know, your trip to Cambodia is very viral. Even like in around Asia, Cambodia, Thailand, and across the region. Does White House know about this? What about the U.S. Congress knows about this? And have you been approached by any White House official or any Congress staff member or whatever to discuss about you with your trip to Cambodia?
Yeah, so I took it on myself. My own personal interests. I relayed to them as a journalist, and I said, look, I'm out there reporting news. I'm reporting my story, my side of it. I am now biased towards Cambodia based on everything that I've seen. I even asked Thailand to allow me to cover from their side of the news, even though they called on horrific things against me and my family, even calling on people from Thailand has texted my wife that we want to rape you. I mean, it was just horrific. But I spoke with members of Congress. I won't disclose their names, but the people who are in charge of this conflict, I've had private meetings, and they are opening investigation right now, actively, and looking into the situation. They're deploying the team that handles the tariffs. They're deploying a team that is looking into potential war crimes. They're deploying and hearing from both sides and remaining neutral. And on September 3rd, when Congress gets back into session, meaning when everyone in U.S. government gets back to work, because right now they're on a recess, they're on a break. They're not actively working right now, because there's a recess where it gives the members of Congress the time to report back home to their constituents and to talk about the things that they're working on. So right now we're in recess, but when everyone comes back to our office, I'm happy to report that the Cambodian-Thailand conflict is now number one on the list. And so they will, again, openly, I believe, address, you know, from the United States concerns and address the problems of the potential breach and their perspective of Thailand. So I think we did our job, and our job was to command the world's attention, to prioritize Cambodia and Thailand's war conflict, because we don't want to see a war. We don't want to see Cambodians being bombed by F-16 fighter jets, their schools destroyed, their homes displaced, 1 million people being deported out of Thailand to Cambodia. We don't want to see Thai soldiers be stepping on landmines. I want to make it very clear that their Minister of Mines has the exact same maps as Cambodia does, and that was confirmed by the United Nations. They have the exact same maps that shows where these mines are, and even where people have stepped on the mine and died from it. And to wake up to the world, there are 4,000 people that die in Cambodia, Thailand border every single year. 4,000 people die from stepping on a landmine. So yes, this may be new news for the world, But in Cambodia and Thailand, this is the same old news story. And but the thing is that you cannot say that Cambodia is purposely planting mines in a zone impact area where all of these soldiers are dying right now. The landmines is 800 kilometers. 800 kilometers. Every 1 to 2 feet you have a mine for 800 kilometers. The United States has dropped all of these mines in 1970 with President Nixon and Kissinger. Okay, and that's no news. But why is Thailand continuing to put their Thai forces and walk through a rainforest where it's the second most impacted mine zone in Cambodia and in Thailand? It's setting your troops for a suicide mission. Yes, you may detect one or two bombs, but every 2 feet for 800 kilometers, there's mines, and you're going to continue to send in young 18-year-old boys to walk through a forest of mines. You're going to have casualty. And the minister of mines from the Cambodia is doing the right thing. He's saying, please stay out of this forest, stay out of this region. And he was the president, the sitting president under this UN committee that was in charge of all the mines for 100 countries. The successor now is from Japan. And he even confirmed himself that Thailand has access to the exact same data, the exact same AI, the exact same technologies. So why is it that Thailand keeps on reporting that our soldiers, just like today, they reported that a soldier stepped on a landmine and lost his leg? But my question is why are you sending your Thai soldiers to a mountainside, to a rainforest that has mines for 800 kilometers? There's no way that drugs, trafficking, laundering money is walking through a mine forest, literally a mine forest. It's not possible because you would die. We don't even have animals, and we don't even have birds that live in that area because it's just full of mines, but yet you keep sending in your young troops. And so it's problematic. And everything that I'm reporting on is facts.
Michael, Thailand has officially blacklisted you and Mr. Gary Frenchie and banning you guys from entering Thailand. So do you see this is a personal cause of your advocacy, or do you regret the consequence? Have this action made you fearful or more determined?
Well, I was really surprised because of all my great relationships I have in Thailand, working with actually the Thailand military on a humanitarian rescue in 2018, given that I helped improve trade relations, manufacturing, moving the auto industry out of China into the Thailand government. I mean, the Thailand actually manufactures the Ford 1F-150, all the cameras on the back behind the Ford F-150s, they're all made in Thailand. Even the framing of vehicles of the Ford 1F-150, and not just that, but even the automotive industry with Tesla, with GMC, with Ford, all of the shellings of the batteries of lithium that for electric vehicles are all actually made in Thailand. Even Krugro, so all your instant coffee makers, what it does is there's a device that takes the water and makes it hot very quickly so you can have the instant coffee. That's all manufactured in Thailand. And I helped strengthen those relationships with the United States. And I even helped, I'm even a customer. I've ordered tens of thousands, if hundreds of thousands of dollars from Thailand. And I even helped facilitate teak wood from Thailand, sell the export teak wood to the United States. We even helped Thailand with rare earth minerals. My team and I, and I'm more on the back end of things as a consultant on the back end advising companies that's working with Thailand. So again, everything that shows, I should be, you know, biased towards the Thai side. So when they're not allowing me to step foot, then I don't care. I can bring business to Cambodia. That's all that means. So if I go back to Cambodia, I mean, Thailand, then so be it. I'll go and we can do business in other countries and we can make them more fruitful. I mean, because I think America needs to know who is the honest broker here. And I think the honest broker is now Cambodia.
But before the Thais put you guys in the blacklist, also Thais official have invited you to, you know, to cover story and report from the Thai side. And then later on, the Thais deny and rejects from proposing and inviting to report from Thailand. So can you elaborate on this particular moment for the audience?
Right. Well, so I was being slandered. I was being told that I was a lobbyist, right? Thailand said that I was a not fair journalist. I'm not a real journalist because I didn't have a news organization or any recent publications. They were slandering me in every which way. And then they kind of said, oh, if Michael was serious about being a reporter, then he would come on our side and he would report the news. And I, when they said that, I got all kinds of text messages on my phone. And I said, I would love to welcome that opportunity to hear from their side because I'm here to seek truth. And so people were telling me, the president's family saying, don't, you know, let's not engage here. It's concerned about your safety. And I said, no. If I'm here on a mission and if I'm here first for truth, then I have to hear on their side. As a conservative, as a man of principle, you have to always hear from both sides to draw a line of who's right and who's wrong. And so I was willing, and that's why I didn't go live. That's why I still haven't been live today. I'm still willing to take that invitation. They said, in quote, in the text by their spokesman themselves, that we'll pay for the flight, their travel, they get a hotel, that they would welcome me. I can interview anybody who I want, the king himself. And I said, I would love that opportunity. And guess what they did? They said, Michael Alfaro is a paid lobbyist. And because he's a paid lobbyist, he's not an honest, fair reporter. Case closed. Michael Alfaro will never step foot in Thailand again. And so what they did was they tried to bait me in a trap. They tried to say that they're trying to prove a point that I was a paid lobbyist. That's what they're doing. Because if I was a paid lobbyist, then I cannot come to their side and report on it. So if I decline their offer, then I'm not a fair journalist, right? But now that I offered them, I said, yes, I accept your offer. Then they say, you can't because you're a paid journalist. I'm a paid lobbyist. But that's not true, because if I was a paid lobbyist, I'll be legally bound within 10 days to report to the U.S. government, the U.S. Department of Justice, the U.S. Department of FinCEN, the U.S. you know, lobbying disclosure report under the House and the Senate that I've been paid as a agent for Cambodia. So that's not true. So again, what they wanted to do was they wanted to put me in a position where it discredits me. But if anything, when I me coming forward, willing to hear their side and be fair, and them returning, just shutting it down with a lie, that only shows the truth here. They don't want me to come there. They don't want me to find out from their side what is happening because they have something to hide. It's like a child that got caught stealing. When a child's caught stealing, does a child come forward to the parent and say, Mommy, Daddy, I stole, I'm so sorry? No, what do? They hide. And then you check your kid's pockets and you say, but you have the cookie in your pocket. And the kid says, oh, I don't know how it got there. And I would say, well, did it fall from the sky into your pocket? And the child says, oh, no, I just put on my pants. Okay, but let's go to the cookie jar. There were four cookies. Now there's three. Explain. And then eventually the child says, what? Okay, Mommy, Daddy, I'm sorry. I stole the cookie from the cookie jar, right? And that's exactly what this is. They're out there playing child games. And they're saying that we have nothing to hide. But then I go and say, okay, I'll bring the camera. I'll come interview. I'll hear from your side. I want to get all the information. And then they retract. So that tells me they have something to hide. That tells me they're lying. That tells me they're the aggressors. That tells me this is a breach of the call for ceasefire, and they're not acting in good faith.
Yeah. Michael, you know, like the 18th soldier is still captured in Thailand. And so far, monks and students, thousands of them protest in Cambodia, urging the Thai to release the 18th soldier to Cambodia and free them so that they can meet their family and their kids in Cambodia. So right now, do you hear anything from America's side in order to intervene for the release of the 18th soldier?
Yes, yeah, so on the American side, people are not aware of what's happening on the ground. Mm-hmm. They are not aware that of the 18 captive soldiers. So they are aware now because of the reporting, and that's why they sent out a team to do an intake of what exactly is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Thailand has been very successful as far as suppressing the media and controlling their narrative of what's happening and controlling of what United States and Europe is hearing about this border conflict. But Congress does now know about it. They are actively researching it and they're investigating it. I know the president is aware of it. It was relayed to him based on the reporting that's been cycling out there. And they are getting to it.
Michael, do you have any, you know, I mean, like direct threat particularly from the Thai source? If so, how have you respond to that?
When you have a multi-million dollar smear campaign running against you, the only thing you can do is steadfast, tell the truth, tell the news. The Thai people, Thailand will not kill me, will not harm me. It's all a scare tactic to get me to be quiet. If they were to harm me, and if I were to be killed at any of my guest speaker events or be killed in American soil, and they commit an act of terrorism crime against me, well, guess what? The United States will come in and give them the wrath of God. And not just that, but I have 500,000 Cambodians in Cambodian that love me, that hear my message, and I stand with them, and I know they stand with me. So nothing would ever harm me. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of bullies. I'm American at heart, and this is how American spirits fight. Cambodians, they smile with a broken heart, and they're resilient in peace. But Americans, stand up to the bully and we tell them that they're wrong and they need to knock it off.
Michael, I want to ask you some very romantic question. You know, before you go to Cambodia, I'm sure that you're going to tell your wife, and then your wife she just have a newborn baby. So this is a very critical moment. It's very hard for the decision for you to travel during you have like a newborn baby. So how do you manage that? And what do you tell your wife and your kids about that?
Well, it wasn't easy, but my wife is a champion. So I have a newborn, he's 7 months, and I had to step away. And I tell them, I said, listen, I understand that I'm not gonna make any money on this trip. I understand that I was supposed to break even if the news agency from One American News was supposed to pay my flight and hotel accommodations. But I told him, I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of my word to you, my family, and to my business and to my reputation. I have to keep my word. Otherwise, my word will have no value. And I have to go on this mission, whether I make money or not. It doesn't matter. And the argument went on. It's, why are you going here? You have no business. If we live here in America, like if the world falls apart, then how is that ever going to impact us? I said, eventually in time it would. But think about it from this perspective. If you can go to a country where there's a border conflict and report live on Facebook and give an opinion about it and ask some questions. Where is the evidence, Thailand? Where is the evidence that Cambodia was causing a threat where you had to defend yourself to level this whole village? And if I ask that question, and if everything that I'm seeing here in the United States is true, and if I go to their soil, to their troops, to their border, to their wall, to their leadership, and if I ask them that question, and if we can prevent a war and save lives, well, that's the meaning of life. And that is something that money cannot buy. And that's something that's born in me. God has put that in my heart. God has put that spirit in my heart. And I cannot deny it. That's just who I am as a person. And so I love you. I'll be back. I'll be safe. This is not my first time me doing something like this. And this won't be my last. But as long as God puts it in my heart and my spirit, I will continue to report the truth.
So you said you want to keep your word. Why do you have to keep your word? And, you know, why does it matter?
Well, it's something that's installed in me as a United States Marines. As a United States Marine, your integrity is everything. And I just have it in me. I have to keep my word. If I tell you I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you. If I tell you that my answers are, you know, I'm not too sure what good can come from this, then that's exactly what this is. But when I put my reputation, my as a business leader, as a person, I keep it. And that's why I'm where I am at. That's why I have access to the president. That's why I can, you know, facilitate meetings, and I can get in front of the line for any one of my clients. I can get the president's attention, because the president, what he loves, what he wants from his people is loyalty. Yeah. And that's what I bring. I bring loyalty to everyone. And that's who I am as a person. So that's why I'm successful. I'm successful because of loyalty. Look behind me. I have a picture with Melania, Trump, my kids, all of us. This was done during Easter. And I have another picture of President Trump with me in the picture. I have the lanyard when I met the president. I have all my office. I have pictures with the president, not just with Trump, but even Bill Clinton and, you know, Barack Obama. That's my reputation, because if you can't keep your word, you know, what good are you?
Correct. Yeah. So, my other question, there was a report that Mr. Soysapip, you know, a founder of the DAP News, proposed renaming Cambodian National Roadfall in honor of President Donald Trump. While you were in Cambodia, did you hear anything official from government leader regarding this proposal?
Yes, so I spoke with the Minister of Tourism, and he said he would love the idea, he would embrace the idea. He thinks it would be good for tourism, good for safety, and
the Cambodian
people want it to happen, and it's going through its process, and so it continues to get momentum, and I cannot wait until that happens, because that will take a victory lap. That 140-mile highway will be named after President Trump. We have yet to see something like that in America, and that would speak volumes, and that would resonate with every American, 50 million Americans that voted for President Trump. That would resonate deeply with them.
Wow. So right now, do you follow up about that?
Yes, I do follow up with that, and they said that they're in the process of review. And so it's going to take its government channels, but everything that's been reported actually has been reshared on their state news, on their local news. And so we definitely have the momentum, and I think it's going to happen, just a matter of time.
You know, Cambodia used to be a country that strongly criticized America. They, in the past few years ago, Cambodia is very very sour with the relationship with America. So why Cambodia turned just overnight to America's very short period of time, buying like flattering President Donald Trump with all this kind of like honor, the street, the flags and everything, his photo display on the whole country. Why you think Cambodia turned so fast in this situation?
Well, better late than never. So I think Cambodia is seeing and evaluating United States' relationship with Cambodia on what, not what we say, but what we do. Look what President Trump has done. He called for a ceasefire. The minister himself said that was a miracle because he threatened tariffs on both countries if they cannot lower their guns. And Cambodia did not want this war. Thailand wants this war. And so that in itself is a miracle because what they don't want is a war. That's going to set them back. They finally have peacetime for over 22 years. And now there is a war that's going to happen, and that's going to cripple their economy. And so they're turning to the United States because of the actions that we've done. My reporting forced the Thai king to call the prime minister, and he said, please take down the video, and if we can take down the video, we'll engage peaceful talks. The last time this has happened, there was a 7-year period of silence where Thailand and Cambodia did not speak to each other from the top senior level, because
you say the Thai king called to the prime minister in Cambodia to take down your video live?
Correct. And that's why I took it down. I suspended it. Because I wanted to allow Cambodia and Thailand to have delegation. They need to delegate this problem. And so if I had a role in it where I shine light and they don't want to have a journalist, a foreign journalist or foreign person that comes into their conflict zone and shine light and criticize both one another, I'm okay with that. Because this is not about me and my popularity and my fame. This is about the solution. The solution is we need to end this war. The solution is 18 soldiers need to come home today. The solution is the dead bodies on the Cambodians from the Cambodian fallen soldiers on the soil of Thailand or Cambodian soil. They need to be able to retrieve their lost and their fallen soldiers, the soldiers who died in battle. They need to get them home so their moms can properly bury them and give them the respect that they deserve. That is the mission. It's not about me. It's about the mission. And the mission is to end the war, to bring attention, to bring accountability, and to return the soldiers. As soon as the soldiers are returned home and the body buries are buried, I can go on and go on with my life. But as long as Thailand is going to continue to hold these people against the will, refuse to comply with international law, and continue to call on harm on myself and my family and my reputation, well, then guess what? I'm going to continue to speak up, because the most powerful thing I have is my voice, and the most powerful most powerful treasure we have as American is the God-given right for free speech and free press and free media.
Michael, Thailand is expanding its military power by purchasing Gripen fighter jets from Sweden and submarine from China. From your perspective, how will this acquisition shift the balance of power and impact regional security?
It's concerning, I think, for the United States and the Trump administration that they're taking a step away from the United States. And the reason why they're doing this is because they don't want to behold to principles of peace. They want to be a proxy for China. They want to expand their territorial line in Cambodian soil. They have their own interests and their own motivation. That aligns them, that benefits themselves and benefits China. And so that's why they're stepping away from the United States from trade. And if we sound alarm and if we cover the news and if we report the facts, I think President Trump will be very, very upset with about this, and he can fix this problem very quickly.
Yeah. You know, like today, the website, Sweden website, have reported that at least like two opposition lawmaker in Sweden strongly opposed the sale of the four Gripens to Thailand and other weaponry equipment to Thailand. And then the defense minister of the Sweden said that this is a time for self-defense, for any country for self-defense. So can you elaborate with that?
Well, I think that's wonderful. That's wonderful that we actually have strong lawmakers in Sweden that's fighting for truth. They are aware of what the border dispute is. They know that that Thailand is committing crimes against humanity, that's calling in fighter jets to displace over 35,000 people. And there are people that are speaking up. I would actually encourage to look into the two congressional leaders from Sweden, and maybe we should meet, we as a community, as a Cambodian community and Americans abroad, need to write to those congressional leaders and explaining what exactly is happening, and maybe they can call in for intervention to bring peace and stability in the region, and that we'd welcome not just United States intervention, but Europe's intervention. That is critical. That is critical for the longevity and the stability in the Southeast Asians and the Oceans summit. So I think that that's terrific news. And the spokesman, the defense spokesman, of course, he's going to continue with the order because it brings in millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, over $1 billion of sales, and it helps their economy because their economy is in debt because they're supporting a war in Ukraine versus Russia. So getting the financial support from Thailand is critical for them right now. But there are principles that we have as humans, we must avoid war at all costs. And I feel that if Cambodians and if the Cambodian government were to write letters to Sweden and expressing great concerns, lawmakers, I think this would be helpful because then they can intervene. And let me stress another point. Mm-hmm. Most of these rounds that are engineered, and even though they're designed and manufactured and developed in Sweden, the most of the technology still comes from the United States. So as long as it's 5% engineered in the United States, President Trump can intervene and tell Sweden to not continue to deploy weapons to Thailand. He has that power and that ability to do so. He can even threaten Sweden to defunding the aid that we support them for their sovereignty. So President Trump, at the bottom line, is in control, is in charge, and he can make the swift action as soon as he hears and truly gets to weigh in after everything goes through its own process.
Wow. Michael, despite agreeing to the certain points, this is why protocol, the Thai military continue to deploy barbed wires and use long-range acoustic device against the Cambodian civilians in Bantiman Chase province. So what do you believe is the real reason behind this aggressive action?
The reason behind this aggression is that prior to World War II, I hear and I read that Thailand had more land. And because the Paris Peace Accords was established, they were awarded less land and Cambodia was awarded more land. And that was because Cambodia was helping the United States in World War II in some capacities. And they were helping in the United States with the Vietnam War. Thailand wasn't. And so not in certain wartime capacities. And because of that, there was the lines were have been drawn. And now there is propaganda from China that's influencing Thailand, and Thailand is pushing out propaganda that the border lines are not fair and that they belong to Thailand. And it's been disputed over 500 years. Even the president acknowledged that. But the truth is, since 1991, we established the lines. And what Thailand's doing by violating this is they're testing President Trump. They're testing his resolve. How is he going to respond? And this benefits this war and disable to bring a disruption in the Southeast Asians really benefits China for the long game. So that's exactly what's happening.
So buying this kind of like bullying, is there any going to be a tariff consequence to the Thailand from the United States?
President Trump said on the news, on Fox News, that if it continues, then he'll pull out of both Cambodia and Thailand. That's what he said. My suggestion is yes. I think that ultimately Thailand could face tariffs. Thailand could face a tremendous hardship in other ways. Thailand can be blocked from replenishing their heavy artillery rounds to their high rockets to the motors fires. And as soon as that happens, then it's obviously Israel will follow. Israel has sold a number of firearms for Thai forces. I think that just changing gears really quick, I think Cambodia should come out publicly and support Israel and support the call of the release of the prisoners held in captivity in Gaza. And because they have common grounds, they have common causes. They can come and say, look, we don't want war. The world doesn't want war. Return the soldiers home so we can end the war. Same thing what Israel's doing is the same thing what Cambodia is doing. And if they were to align with Israel, then guess what? Israel won't sell any more firearms to Thailand. And I think that it benefits when you exercise peace. Go ahead.
Michael, do you intend to, you know, to testify before the U.S. Congress on Cambodian and Thai conflict? If so, what key message would you deliver to Americans' lawmakers?
Well, I would welcome that opportunity. I would welcome to testify in open hearing. Everything that I've seen, everything that has been done, and I would report exactly what happened. You have two. Schools that was bombed by heavy artillery shells. Those heavy artillery shells were deployed from Singapore. Did weapons exchange for Thailand, and Thailand, you know, leveled with Singapore artillery rounds two schools, and the only schools in the region for these people can learn how to read, write, and work in a factory. And they destroyed that. They also destroyed innocent bystanders' homes, leaving 35,000 people displaced. I would testify that the 1 million people that have been deported from Thailand to Cambodia, they haven't been given food or shelter or any the chance to collect their personal belongings. They were left inhumanely. When Cambodia deports Thai people from Cambodia to Thailand, they're given a food box, water, the time they need to collect their personal belongings, and they deport them back. I would testify that Thailand said that they didn't use white phosphorus rounds, but later, a few days later, they came back and they said that they used white phosphorus rounds on people. And I would highlight the war crimes that they committed. I would talk about my video and how it went viral when I went to cover the border and the news and the threats that was told upon me, the lies that was said about me. I would come forward about, you know, the calling on the Thai Royal News, the Thai Royal Army News. They said they want to harm me. They want to rape my family. That this is who you know, we're working with. And yeah, and we would have a deep, lengthy discussion. I would absolutely welcome that, because again, I hide nothing. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to gain. The only thing I have to gain from this is my pride. My pride that by me reporting, by me speaking, by me sharing and bringing light to this border conflict, we can prevent a war. And that's what President Trump wants.
Michael, finally, do you plan to return to Cambodia in the near future? If so, and what would be the purpose of your next mission?
Well, my mission is solely focused on returning the soldiers home, returning the dead so they can have proper burial, to advocate everything I can in my power to bring peace in the region. I would love to return back to Cambodia very soon. I won't reveal the hand and what I'm trying to develop behind the scenes, but I would like to look at maybe some humanitarian possibilities, and also to see how we can continue to advance American business interests in Cambodia. And I want to see how we can continue to align with each other and to protect one another. So I will just keep it vague for now, but as soon as we have further development, I will gladly go public about my next move. But right now, I would say the move is in progress.
But there's so many news in Cambodia reported that you plan to raising fund to build home and school for the people along the border that who lost their home, lost their school and whatsoever. Is that real?
So, yes, I'm actively looking at it, but there's a number of things we have to look at. Number one is how much is the UN going to pay? What are they going to cover? How fast will the turnaround would be? We heard that Japan has announced to donate $1.8 million for the displacements of the families. So we have to figure out what the developments are that are. What we want to see is what are the actionable plans that's happening? And if there's a need and if there's a way where we can fill in a gap to help develop and to help rebuild Cambodia, then yes, I'm all in for that. And we're actively searching stakeholders, investors, people from the faith-based community, from the Buddhist and the Christian community that wants to help and help for purposes of humanity. As soon as we get some commitments, then we'll probably make some announcements. But right now, it's all so fast, right? And two is that if we were to rebuild anything, we want to make sure that rebuild is going to be safe, you know, for the people. We don't want to rebuild and put people in harm's way, because the people suffered enough from Thailand, and we want to be thoughtful. So before we jump the gun, I want to make sure it's done right. And also, whatever you hear in the news, whether if it's from Cambodia or Thailand, or United States, if it's not from me, then it's not news. A lot of times people speak for myself, and I don't approve that, because it creates misinformation, like I'm a White House correspondent, and some other things that was said, like I'm a lobbyist for Cambodia. You know, if you haven't heard from my channel, or if you haven't heard it from my voice, then it's not true. And also, there's a lot of fake portfolios out there about myself too. If it has a blue checker, then it's real. It's from Michael. Okay. If it doesn't have a blue checker, then it's not from Michael.
My last question. What was the impression that Cambodian people leave on you?
We want peace. You know, in Cambodia, they don't say hello. They don't say goodbye. They greet you with a statement. We want peace. It reminds me of Israel. In Israel, it's the only language where you say peace when you say hello. It means shalom. And that's what shalom means, peace. And because when you survive a genocide, they just change the whole meaning of hello. It's peace. But Cambodia, it's a statement. We want peace. From every child that you see that's 5, 6 years old, to every middle-aged adult to the elderly in the wheelchairs, to the high-ranking officials, to the prime minister and deputy minister himself, we want peace. And the impression that they leave on me is this is a country that survived two genocides, a ghost mountain, 3 million people dead, and they're cherishing every second, every day that they don't have a war conflict. And they're so happy for 21 years at not having war. That's their pride, possession is peace. And I want to be on the side of peace. I want to stand on the side of history, of resilience. I want to learn like the Cambodian does, like they teach their young people. They smile with a broken heart when things are just bad. It's just best to be smiled, because if we cause disruption, there could be another war. I want to learn to fight like that. But again, the impression that they leave on me is love. And I hope that my colleagues in the White House and Washington and the Hill and the family, that they see this profound and overwhelming call for action for peace, and that they will be impacted. And we have to stand up for Cambodia, because if we can prevent war, let's do it. Let's be in the side of goodness. Because right now, President Trump and now Cambodia is fighting good versus evil. And you have to ask yourself, you know, what side are you going to be on? And sometimes you do sometimes I believe when you do right and you're on the side of good, then good karma is going to come your way. God will bless you for that.
Michael, one last question before you go. I will let you go because we've been talking forever already today. And, you know, like the announcement on about you and Mr. Gary Frenchies to receive the Bravery Reporting Award in South Carolina, that is by the Cambodian Association of North Carolina and Cambodian Association of South Carolina. They joined together and give you a big trophy, a big award on the September 7th in Spartanburg. So what would you say about that?
Well, it's an honor, you know, but the real heroes are those that are still trapped behind enemy lines, 18 soldiers that are, you know, still held in captivity, the dead that has yet to be returned. But if I can have a small part in it, and if we can continue to empower the Cambodian community so they can have a voice, then I will be on the side of truth. I want to also leave it with this very, very important message. That I have yet to address Cambodia. Seeing recently the developments where the Thai forces came in with guns, machine guns to be exact, and they're setting up the barbed wire borders with the tires. And you see the innocent people that are responding with bamboo sticks. I want people to know where your camera comes from. Is your God-given ability for free speech. Record. Take your phone and go live. It doesn't matter if you have one follower, two followers, three followers. Nothing, no lie can ever triumph truth when you're just recording. If you see a Thai soldier in your neighborhood that shouldn't be there, take your phone out and record. And have your friends and your neighbors' neighbors record. And do you just start telling exactly what's happening on camera? Because your video is surveilling and it's circulating the Cambodian community, and eventually it'll make its way to international press, international influencers, and people will hear about it. And as long as you're recording, we'll never need to bring a weapon to the battlefield. If harm were to happen to you, if Thailand were to shoot you for recording, your neighbor is still recording, and your sister's neighbors and your neighbor's brother's neighbors is recording, so they'd have to shoot you all. And if they continue to do that, then guess what? The world will respond. And so don't be afraid. I don't think anything's going to happen. You just have to continue to be vigilant, right? Know your environment, know your surroundings. But whenever you see a Thai soldier out there that doesn't belong there, if you see them putting up barbed wire or fence, all you have to do is just take your camera, pull it up, go on Facebook Live, record, and show the world who is the aggressor. And if you can do that and you keep it up, I believe we can have lasting peace.
Thank you so much, Mr. Alfaro, for your time with the Cambodia Daily. Thank you.
Akon.
But Lord and Ding, the Taiwan Tesana, the Kitchen P, Robocum Batim, winning Lord Michael Alfaro, how young and Volmachup, Lord and Ding, no Sabra Krautit, Somakun, how young Nung Chup, Nin, the Kron Sabra Kraut, the competition about same thing, the young Nung come not. តាមក្រោយទៀតដូច្នេះនៅពេលនេះខ្ញុំបាទតាំងសារ៉ាដារួមទាំងក្រុមការងារទាំងអស់នៃសារព័ត៌មាន The Cambodia Daily បាទសូមអរគុណនិងសូមជម្រាបលារីត្រីសុស្ដី